Today we want to look at this thought. Prayer is God's way for us to receive divine intervention in our lives. Listen, believe that. Through prayer, we can be healed, delivered, and transformed all through prayer. How do I know that? Now, I've been practicing that my whole life to some degree, but since I started pastoring in Lexington, I started praying at a whole new level, and God began to bless at a whole new level. We can do the miracles Jesus did through the effectual fervent prayer. And people say, well, we can't do the miracles of Jesus. You can't if you do not pray. The way you work miracles today is through prayer, and I'll show you that in a minute. That is the truth. I preached a series, you know, in January, Healing Through Prayer and Fasting. That was nearly all fasting. Now I got to get to the prayer part. Can you say amen? And that's where we've been. Now this is the fourth Sunday on prayer. And I'm telling you right now, without prayer, you're not going anywhere. You're not getting any answers. You're not getting any miracles. They come through prayer. Jesus, one of the first things I showed you the other day was that he spent many hours praying himself. And he said to his disciples, could you not tarry with me 1 hour? Evidently, he prayed at least 1 hour every time he prayed. Healing, miracles come through prayer and fasting. I think what the Lord's trying to do is really build my faith and your faith in prayer. And I'm not going to pray unless I believe it works. And Christians that do not pray, it's because they don't believe it works. And my job, since I know it works, is to convince you. And God won't let me quit until, I said, Lord, let's preach on something. I can preach on everything. Let me know that I've got hundreds of sermons and stuff by this time. And I don't just pull them out and re-preach them. The Holy Spirit and I go through those notes and they become alive and well and fresh all over again. Can you say amen? Change them, transform them as God leads and directs us. But I can preach on anything and everything. But the only thing that's really going to change your life is prayer. And meditating on the Word, of course. When I say prayer, I mean meditating on the Word of God. And you need to do some fasting. Now, you don't have to fast every time you pray, thank God. Hey, but if you fast it up, then you can pray, not have to worry about the fasting part. Now, faith, these scriptures should, I've already given you and give you today, should build your faith and will build your faith in prayer. Let me just give you one little example. Many years ago, when the kids were small, I got up one morning. I don't leave the house until I pray 1 hour. And it saved my life. It saved my family. And I want you to know prayer works. I got up early that morning, was praying. Dottie was about to leave to drive the kids to school. And it's pouring down rain. Back then, we had a little Toyota Corolla, you know, just a little tiny death trap. And she was driving those kids to school and pouring down rain, and something went off in my spirit. They're going to have a bad accident today. You better pray that thing through. Man, I started praying. I prayed till I got victory in my spirit. I knew they were going to be okay no matter what the devil tried to do. And I went down to the mountains to pray that morning, down to the foothills. I used to go down there a lot and pray sometimes all day on Monday. And I was up there praying, and I looked at my watch. It's 3 o'clock. I said to myself, Dottie's picking up the kids. And then I remembered about the accident. I said, well, I prayed that through. They're okay in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, they're okay. When I got home, Dottie was still scared to death. She's still kind of white, you know, and they were coming around Bakertown Road. You ever been on Bakertown Road? I'm sure they built that by a bulldozer following a snake. I mean, just, you know, and then to be sure, if you're around the road, you don't go very far. They dig these big ditches. So you land in a big ditch or plant a giant tree right by the road, 2 inches off the road, and they're there to catch you in case you run out of the road. And that's where she was. And I don't remember exactly what happened. Somebody pulled out in front of her and poured down rain or slammed on the brakes in front of her. She had no place to go, ditches, trees. She slammed on the brakes. That little car spun all the way around, hit it back in the opposite direction, didn't get a scratch on anybody, anything. Now, you can tell me prayer doesn't work and I'm not going to pray, but you're really taking a big chance. I do not believe I'd have my family if I hadn't been a man of prayer. And that's not the only time. Many times God has warned me about things that's about to happen to the kids. Can you say amen? And I'm telling you, I found out a long time ago how to get victory. And I'm not just up here trying to waste your time. If you don't learn to pray, you're going to have problems that you wouldn't have to have. Because God will give you wisdom and direction. It even says, if any of you like wisdom, let him ask. Well, how are you going to ask without prayer? That's where you do your asking. And if I have a shortcoming, I think I've preached a lot on prayer without giving you some prayer patterns. I've given them out in the past, but I just didn't feel like they were that good, I guess, and I quit giving them out. I'm going to try to have one ready next week, a prayer pattern to help you pray, guide your prayers. I have all kind of prayer patterns. Because your mind starts wandering, you need some kind of pattern to bring your mind back to it. Somebody say amen. In John 14, verse 12, it says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do. Yeah, how? I don't see hardly any Christians doing the work that Jesus did. And they said, well, it's those apostles. No, it doesn't say apostles. It says, he who believes, she who believes. We'll do the works that I've been doing. How do we get so deceived by the devil? All the false doctrine comes straight from the devil. He wants you to live thinking you're powerless, and you're pretty powerless if you do not pray. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. According to Jesus, every believer should be doing the works he did. If they are not, then they should pray in faith until they do. That's what I found out. That's how I started seeing miracles in my life. John 14, 13, whatever you ask in my name, I might do it. You just never know. No, that's not what it says. That's what we say. That's what preachers say. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. You see, if we ask for miracles in his name, he says he will do those miracles. That's how you work miracles. You asked him for them. I work miracles by asking or praying for them. John 15, 7, if you abide in me, my words abide in you. Ask whatever you wish. That's why I say pray with God's word. Get his word in you. Memorize it. Because you will not pray contrary to God's will if you're full of the word of God, because the word of God is God's will. Well, how do I know his will? You got it right here. If we ask for miracles, he says he'll do it. John 15, 17. Again, if you abide in me, my words abide in you. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Well, what about the will of God? If you're praying according to the will of God, you'll be in the will of God. If you're praying according to his word, you'll be right on track. You see, we must pray the word until the Holy Spirit quickens it to our hearts. It's not just enough to believe it up here. Part of prayer is meditating on the word. Speaking the word to myself, speaking the word to the devil, and meditating on that word till it goes from my head to my heart and it becomes a know-so. See, that's the reason I preach on healing the way I do. God gave me my own scripture. It's in me. And boy, when I start meditating on that scripture, God heals me. And a lot of times when I'm meditating on that scripture and praying for other people, God heals them too. I'm telling you how to make good decisions at work. I'm telling you how to have the wisdom of God. I'm telling you how to have wisdom for your family. I'm telling you how to get that spirit of strife out of your home that's trying to destroy your kids and get them on drugs and alcohol and do crazy things. You can pray down the power of God that that spirit of strife will have to leave. I don't know. I've done that many times. Sometimes I cast it out myself. You get off of me, you lying spirit. You see, we must pray and meditate on the word until it becomes a rhema word. This is where our faith comes from. How do I get people healed? Pray for them, asking God to heal them. And have I worked miracles? I've seen Many of you, probably most of you, have been healed in direct answer to my prayers and other people agreeing with me. And yes, we work miracles. Actually, God works miracles in response to prayer, but same thing. He said, amen. We get the miracles. I was praying for Tracy Caston. Is she in here right now? She works in with the children back there. And so she comes to one of the services. But anyway, she had COVID back, I guess, is 2021. And she's very sick. And they let her come home. And then I was in Nashville at a meeting, and I got word that they had to rush her back to the hospital, and they thought that she might not make it. It was really bad. And but I said, devil, you're not doing this. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. Of course, I wasn't only praying. I'm not dumb enough to try to take any credit for it, but prayer works. And I have to be one of them. Can you say amen? And I got it in my spirit that she was healed. But God worked a lot faster than I thought. Okay, and so that was, I think, Thursday. And when I got back on Friday, I called her. I thought she was still in intensive care, and I'm talking about the next day. And I expected her not to even answer the phone, but I thought, well, I'll try it anyway and leave a message. And so I called, and she answered. I said, Tracy, how you doing? Now, you can go back there and ask her.
I don't believe preachers. Well, honestly, I don't either.
A lot of them. But anyway, she said, I'm fine. I said, what do you mean you're fine? You're supposed to be in intensive care. Are you all right? I said, oh, yeah, I'm all right. I said, what are you doing? She sounded totally normal. She said, I'm shopping. I said, you're shopping? If a lady tells you she's shopping, she's okay. And you say, amen. God totally healed her. The next day, she went shopping. Well, I don't believe in this prayer stuff. Well, I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep preaching until you do. If you get tired of me preaching on prayer, just let me know you're praying about an hour a day, and I'll leave you alone. Can you say amen? No, I'm just obeying God. When I walk out here and tell you thus saith the Lord, this is thus saith the Lord. I don't play games with the name of Jesus Christ. If I say he told me, he told me. And some of you have been here 40 years, and you know that I don't pull him by his leg. When I say it's God, it's God. And over these 42 years we've been here, when I say thus saith the Lord, it's been thus saith the Lord. So how do you do that? How do you get on track like that? Pray. Pray. Pray until you know. How long do you pray? Well, sometimes an hour, sometimes 2 or 3 hours. You pray until you know. You get it in your spirit. I mean, how important is it to you to be successful? How important is it to you to be healed of COVID? How important is it? We run the doctor, spend all of our money, and it's okay to go to the doctor. As a matter of fact, I get a thorough examination every year, partly so I know how to pray for me if something's not exactly right, but at the same time, I know I can get healed through prayer. God can do what the doctor can only wish he could do. Can't tell, I believe it. Just keep listening. You will in a minute. Okay. 1 John 3:21, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. If we're doing things that's not pleasing to him, we need to fix that by repenting and asking him to forgive us and cleanse us, and he will. And as soon as we confess it, we need to know he's forgiven us and drop it. Because the devil uses it to condemn us and tell us you're not worthy to pray. Disobedience, however, can shut our prayers down. So if the Holy Spirit convicts us of something, we must repent and stop. That's what it means when it says if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. Really, what that means, I think, if our heart is not convicting us of something. You say, well, I wonder if I've done something wrong. Well, if you've done something wrong, I guarantee you know it already. The Holy Spirit convicts you. Can you say amen? Matthew 26:41. Keep watching and praying. Now, what's the watching for? Well, I mean, you can see when temptations are coming. You can see when the devil's bringing something bad into your life. If you're really praying and seeking God, God will even warn you of bad things, like he warned me about my kids and my wife being in a bad car accident. Watch and pray. Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. You see, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You got to remember that. If you're not prayed up, fired up, churched up, doing what you're supposed to be doing, and you get hit with temptation, you could fall. And wind up losing your home, your family, your job, everything else. So stay alert. And when we meet the temptation of drugs and alcohol, illicit sex and rebellion or whatever, we pray that temptation right off of us. Pray until it's gone. Luke 21:36, be always on the watch and pray continually is really what it means. And pray continually that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen and that you will be able to stand before the Son of God. You see, when we see bad things coming on the earth, and buddy, I can see a lot of bad things coming right now. In case you haven't been paying attention, we are just inches away from World War III, and this one's going to be a doozy with all these nukes. I mean, I'm a history major. The world has never been this intense with this many weapons that they didn't have war. It only takes one nut. I'm not calling the guy in Korea North a nut, but it only takes one guy like that to set the thing off. We better get to praying. Maybe our last chance. Right now. Well, I don't know about all this prayer. Well, you better start learning about it because it may be the only hope we got. Well, it is the only hope we got, period. He says, be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape. All these prophets and preachers, you know, they, about all the horrible things we got to go through. The Bible says I can pray and I can escape a lot of things. Can you say amen? That's what it says. I just read it to you. And if I'm not mistaken, that was Jesus who said that. Wouldn't it? Be always on the watch and pray that you will be able to escape. I'm telling you right now, I've already escaped a lot of things the devil had planned for me through prayer. You see, when we see bad things coming on earth, Jesus says we can escape. Oh my God, it's hopeless. No, it's not. As long as you got prayer and you're not too lazy to pray. We Christians, the devil wants us to be lazy, and a lot of us just flat lazy. We're not praying because we're lazy. How do I know that? Because I get the same way. I have to make this old bag of bones pray. I don't care how tired you are, you're going to pray. Well, I want to go to bed. I know you're not going to bed. Prayer is more important than sleep. Get in there in that other room and pray. And make me do it. Can you save me? You see, you need sleep, but you need prayer more. When we see bad things coming on the earth, it's time to pray. Isaiah 41:17, the poor and the needy search for water, but there is none. Their tongues are parched with thirst, but I, the Lord, will answer them. It means if they're praying, I will answer their prayers. I will answer them. I, the Lord, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. The Lord always answers the prayer and the prayers of the poor and the needy, but what if they refuse to pray? Poor and needy people need to pray double. Can you say amen? Yeah. And he can't start that much poorer than me and my family. But what if they refuse to pray? You see, we got to remember something. God cannot answer a prayer that's not prayed. I felt like he spoke that to me once. Answer prayer. I can't answer prayer if they don't pray. Isaiah 56:7, even them I will bring to my holy mountain. Listen to this one. I'm trying to show you prayer works, and I'm trying to show you this is what we're supposed to be, and I'm trying to show you this is what the church is supposed to be. Even them I pray bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. House of prayer, not a house of strife. And that's what many, if not most, churches around Knoxville are, is a house of strife. But if we'll be a house of prayer, strife will leave. Strife is not welcome around here. It'll destroy you. It'll ruin your life. It'll destroy your church, destroy your job, your career, your family, cause a divorce. Strive to get out of here. Stay away from us. If someone asks you about our church, you should be able to say, if it's true, and it is, my church is a house of prayer. We're famous for being a house of prayer and a house of fasting and prayer. See, we need to be confident that prayer can produce victory in every battle we face. It doesn't matter what you face. Poor country boy, I couldn't afford to go to school. And people say, well, I can't afford to go to school. Listen, if you got a will, God will make a way. And I knew God called me to be a preacher, and I didn't want to be any dumber than I had to be. So I thought, well, a good place to start would be to go to college. And I didn't know if I could make it or not, but I was willing to give it a try. And wound up doing pretty good. Yay. But I needed a car. I had to live on the farm with my family. I couldn't afford to stay in a dorm. And so I said, God, I need a car so I can get down to Shorter College in Rome, Georgia. That's where I graduated from college. It wasn't a big shot college, but it was a small school, and so the professors could spend a lot of time with each of our students, and it was the best thing. It'd be a lot better for me than a big university. It really gave me what I needed. But I needed a car. And my daddy wouldn't give me a dime. He let me live there at the house and eat his food, but no, he wouldn't give me any money. You know, he wouldn't give me a dime on my schooling. And you know what? I thank him for that. I mean, when you have a situation like that, thank God for it, because God can turn that thing around. And because he wouldn't help me, I had to trust God. And now I've learned to trust God my whole life, and I don't have a problem with trusting God. I still get nervous and whine and cry like all the rest of us. But when I get through that, I get back, stand on my scripture, start quoting scripture, and I get my act back together. Can you say amen? So I need a car. I was praying for a car. I didn't have very much money. I've been working trying to raise money for school. I didn't really have the money for a car. I was barely getting enough money to go to school, but I had to have a car. I couldn't walk 10, 12 miles every day there and back, you know, and have time to study. And so I said, I need a car. So I started looking around for a car and went up to Wright's car lot. Drove by it the other day when I was down to see Mama. Still there. Still got that name. I'm sure it's a different owner. And there was a 1963 Ford Falcon. This was 1964. And remember, I'm 49. I've been 49 now for like 26, 27 years or so. I've been 49 so long I forgot how long. 1963 Ford Falcon. And I talked to Mr. Wright about it, and he had another price on it. I don't remember now what it was, quite a bit more. But I asked God about it. And even then, I prayed over key things. I didn't pray then like I do now, but when I had a problem or a need, I prayed then. And it worked. I said, God, what am I going to do? I need to buy a car. He said, well, you go back up there and you offer Mr. Wright, you tell Mr. Wright that you will give him $1,100. It was a year old, and it didn't have very many miles on it. And it was a 1963. He says, tell him you'll give him $1,100 and ask him to pay the taxes and throw in a new set of new tires. And he came outside his little office there, and I was standing there looking right in his face. And I said, I'll tell you what I'd do. 19-year-old kid. I'll tell you what I'd do, Mr. Wright. I'll give you $1,100 for this car. You pay the taxes and throw in a set of new tires. And he looked off into the way blue yonder or whatever and looked back down, looked back up a couple of times. He says, okay. I drove that car home. Can you say amen? Well, I don't believe prayer works. Well, you go right out and have disasters and failures. It's no skin off my nose. I'm responsible just to tell you the truth, and you can do what you want to with it. But you're not going to tell me I can't preach the truth, because I'm going to do it. Can you say amen? In 1 Samuel 7:9, then Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it up as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. He cried out to the Lord on Israel's behalf, and the Lord answered him. God responded to this man of prayer. Israel was about to be annihilated with this great army. And reading through the Bible, that happened over and over and over. And without prayer and fasting and trusting God, there wouldn't be an Israel. You see, we can pray on America's behalf just like Samuel prayed on Israel's behalf. And we better be doing it. Well, it just looks hopeless. Well, I just read a scripture that said God will make a way of escape if we pray. In verse 10, while Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to engage Israel in battle. They were ready to wipe them out, outnumbered and all. But that day, the Lord thundered with a loud thunder against the Philistines and threw them into such a panic that they were routed before Israel. God just, he made a lot of noise and scared them half to death. Can you say amen? You see, if we will pray, God will thunder against our enemies. Prayer wins. This is the way we destroy our enemies even today, or get them converted one way or the other. Can you say amen? Either way, they are eliminated as enemies. The preference is to get them converted to Jesus Christ. In 1 Kings 18:37, answer me, O Lord, answer me for these people, so that these people will know that you are Lord, that you are You, O Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again. This is Elijah praying down fire so that the Israelites could see that God is real and not Baal. They'd all started worshiping Baal. And God, and Elijah says, I need you to do this, Lord, to show your God. The church needs to have miracles to show the United States of America that God is still alive. But for the most part, the church is dead. Can you say amen? And when you have a live church, people think you're weird. Yay. But it's the only hope this country has is a church that really has the power of God that people can see it. You see, we must pray this every day for America. Answer me. So these people will know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again to you. Verse 38, it says, then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice. He's actually praying for fire to fall. And the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and also licked up the water and the trench. Now let me ask you a question. How did Elijah work this miracle? Prayer. I told you. And you'll find that true all through the Bible. I can work miracles through prayer. I pray and God answers. That's how he healed Tracy. That's how he healed Judy Kellen the other day. I was just praying for her and God showed me she was healed. I called her and told her that God had, I felt like God had healed her. And she went home with this oxygen tank and all these tubes. And after I called and said that, all of a sudden she felt healed. She took that oxygen tank and all those tubes and put them in the closet. And I called her Saturday night. I was wanting to share a testimony, but I want to be sure, you know, that everything was still good. So I called her Saturday. I said, how are you doing? She said, oh, I'm totally healed. I said, really? Yeah. She said, I didn't know it. He said, I put the oxygen tank and the tubes in the closet, and I don't need them. And then that same morning, she came to church. Y'all pay attention. I don't know about prayer. Well, you better start learning. And I'm giving you a head start here. And look at all the scriptures I've given now for 4 weeks, and almost none of them are the same. Remember, what I feel like the Lord's trying to do is convince us that prayer works, so we'll do it. I think that's the reason you need these stories. Can you say amen? And if God sent down fire for Elijah, he's going to send down a healing for COVID for me. Nice try. 2 Kings, yeah. Do it right. Give the Lord a big thank you. Amen. 2 Kings 6:18, as the enemy came down toward them, Elisha prayed to the Lord, strike these people with blindness. It's coming to arrest him. Take him over to Syria. And he says, Lord, stop them. And so he struck them, the Lord struck them with blindness, as Elijah has asked. And Elijah said to these blind soldiers, come follow me. And he led them right downtown in the middle of Samaria, and when God restored their sight, they realized they had been taken captive by this one little preacher. Prayer. How did he do it? He said he prayed to the Lord, strike these people with blindness. His answer to prayer. In 2 Kings 19:19, now, O Lord our God, deliver us from his hand so that all kingdoms on earth may know that you alone, O Lord, are God. What's he doing? Praying. O Lord, deliver us from the secular humanists and the Marxists and all the ungodly things they're teaching our kids. There is no God. Man is not, he's just another animal, and you can expect him to live and act like an animal. That's just all he is. You see, we need to be praying, Lord, deliver us from all the secular humanists and the Marxists and all of Satan's demonic lies, and prove to the world you're still our God. In verse 32, therefore, this is what the Lord says concerning the king of Assyria. He will not enter this city. You see, when he began to pray, and the king and the others began to pray, God answered. He says, therefore, this is what the Lord says concerning the king of Assyria. He will not enter this city or shoot an arrow here. He will not come before it. With it, with shield, or build a siege ramp against it. I mean, the giant army was already there. Israel was nothing but toast. They didn't have a chance. And God says, watch me. Stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord. And that's about where the church is right now. We need to be praying and standing still and watching for the salvation of the Lord in this country. Amen. And in this city. In this county, in this state, and the whole nation, and the world. How did they receive this miracle? They prayed. And they didn't have to do a thing. A lot of times if you pray it through, that's all you got to do. Verse 35, that night the angel of the Lord went out and put to death 185,000 men in the Assyrian camp. Preacher, you believe that? If you do not believe the Bible, it's because you don't have any miracles yourself. I've seen great miracles, so I have no problem believing all these miracles. I've seen miracles, in my opinion, just as great. Deliverance is deliverance. A miracle is a miracle. You know, well, it's a small miracle. There's no such thing as a small miracle. A miracle is something humans can't do. Verse 36. So Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, broke camp and withdrew. He returned to Nineveh and stayed there, and his own sons killed him. He was bragging, oh, I'm going to destroy Israel. God says, no, you're not, because my people's praying. Our God will defend all of us who pray, but we got to pray it and mean it and be serious about it. That's why I feel like God's trying to motivate me more and you more to pray and believe it works. You can pray, not even believe it. You got to believe it works. And when you get all these stories and information from the Bible and some personal ones from people here in the church, it's easier to believe it. I'm looking at people now. They can stand up here and give you all kind of testimonies. Can you say amen? Pray that God will send his angels against the Chinese Communist Party and remove them. Oh, that Chinese Communist Party, they're so wicked. I mean, if you speak out against them, they kill you. They ain't allowed, you don't get in the street and protest. They'll run you over with a tank. But God can send a spirit of confusion in there and turn those people upside down. They wind up killing each other. And I mean, China's on the move, buddy. They're trying to take all of Africa right now. They're working in the countries in Africa. They're working in South America. They already knocked down Venezuela and Brazil. Looks like it's going that way right now. They just elected a guy that's taking them in that direction. And we are losing the whole world to China. And it's time that we took care of that Communist Party in prayer. Now, come on, folks. You either believe it or you don't. Let's pray that God will make a way of escape for us by taking down that Communist Party and taking out that Mr. Putin one way or the other. I don't care if he gets saved or how God does it. He needs to be stopped. Why? Because these people are destroying their own people more than anybody else. The Chinese people are wonderful people. Pray for them. God will protect them from the Communist Party there. They're being tortured and butchered by these people. And it's not just hearsay. John Yu Chai here in the church grew up in communist China. Asked him a few things about it. Well, how'd that happen? His father's working there, and he grew up there and went to school there, so he can tell you all about China. Is John in here now? Where is he? Am I telling the truth, John? Could y'all hear him? He's kind of soft-spoken. He said, yes. I'm a loud mouth. I'll speak for him. Yes! You see, God has put conditions on prayer, though. John 14, verse 14, if you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now notice, I will do it is conditional upon keep my commandments. You can't live like the devil and shack up with your boyfriend, your girlfriend, whatever, you know, and expect God to answer your prayers. God says, if you'll obey me, you can trust, you can ask anything and I'll do it, but you got to obey me. And even when he tells you something to do in prayer, you got to do it. I was praying, God told me and I to come here and start this church, and here we are. Yay. In Proverbs chapter 28, verse 9, if anyone turns a deaf ear to the law, even his prayers are detestable. Whoa! There's a lot of people praying that need to repent first. If anyone turns a deaf ear to the law, even his prayers are detestable. I mean, I think we need to know that. Well, this is the fourth time you preached on prayer. Well, I can't get all these scriptures in one sermon. And we need this one. We need all of these. These are all different. Almost all of them are different than the last of three sermons. Proverbs 28, 9. If anyone turns a deaf ear to the law, even his prayers are detestable. If we do not obey God, our prayers are detestable. Lord, help me. And you say, well, it's hopeless for me. No, 1 John 1, 9. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank God for that scripture. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 15, when you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Even if you offer many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. You've been aborting kids and doing all kind of evil, wicked things, and I'm not going to answer your prayer until you repent. God considers gossip and slander to be murder as well, by the way. There's a lot of Christians, they don't think one thing about slandering other people. They're murdering their reputation, sometimes even causing suicide. And they think God's going to answer their prayers. No way, Jose. Amen. Isaiah 59, verse 1, surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear, but your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. And that's pretty much where America is right now. We have murdered so many innocent babies, and we've tolerated so many murders and rapes and horrible things, and now turning wicked, demonized people loose. We know they're going to go right out and kill more people, but the secular humanists say, well, they're just animals. And if they're basically good people. No, they're not basically good people. They're full of the devil, and they'll kill again. We had a beautiful young man here in the church, and this guy had murdered his brother, stabbed him in the face 20-some-odd times with a knife, killed him, and the judge turned him loose, and then he comes over and kills our boy. He wouldn't have killed our boy if the guy had been in jail where he belonged. I mean, we got some crazy people here, and we better be praying that God will give all of us a good dose of sanity. You turn a murderer loose. In the Bible, he'd been executed. Stoned to death. You see, sin separates us from God and he will not hear. America's in real trouble and we need to do some repenting. And who's going to start first? It has to be the church. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked ways, then well, I hear from heaven, forgive their sin and heal their land. Zechariah chapter 7, verse 13. When I called, they did not listen. So when they called, I would not listen. Says the Lord Almighty. God says, if you will not listen to me, I will not listen to you. James chapter 1, verse 6, but let us ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. You see, we are required to ask in faith with no doubting. And how can you have faith in prayer if somebody don't help you learn these scriptures? When I pray, I expect things to happen. Even though most of the time at first it feels like God moved away and forgot all about me. But I just keep hammering. Can you say amen? Because that's the devil trying to discourage me. You see, this says the one who doubts can expect to receive zero. Nothing. Believing with no doubting. See, there's another condition. You need to believe God hears your prayers based on his word. And I just told about recently, I prayed for Judy Kellner and her blood oxygen. She'd had surgery and they sent her home. Everything was great. And for some reason, the oxygen in her blood dropped so low, they had to rush her back to the hospital. It was critical. It's deadly. And they put her on oxygen and sent her home with this tank and all these tubes. And God anointed me to pray for her, showed me he had healed her. And when I told her, the power of God came on her, and she felt good and took the stuff off and put it in the closet and came to church the next morning without anything. Need to pray. And so, well, I don't believe it. You pray until you do. You pray with the word of God until it gets in you. Can you say amen? Yeah, but every time I start praying for something, I don't have the faith for it. I pray until I get that notice of revelation that God is at you. Pay attention. I'm giving you some valuable information. I'm not even going to take another offering. James chapter 4, verse 3. Then when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motive, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. God does not answer selfish prayers. Can you say amen? Well, you prayed for a car. That was selfish. No, it wasn't. I wanted a car so I could go to school, get a good education, and be a preacher. My motive was right. Can you say amen? I didn't want a big limousine so everybody could brag on Bear's big old limousine. Can you say amen? Or is it limousine? Which is? But anyway, God will not answer if we want only our will and not his. We must seek God's purpose in prayer. Seek his will, and when we know it, pray for the power and ability to do it. Mark 11:25, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. You see, if we do not forgive, our prayers will be hindered. We have to forgive those people. It's been mean to us. I don't care what their motive was. You got to forgive them, period. Proverbs 15:29, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. You believe that? Proverbs 15:29, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. He hears my prayers when I pray. He hears your prayers when you pray. And if the Holy Spirit convicts us of something, we confess it and let it go and keep right on praying. Let's all stand.